They call me the chum bucket without the H.
No. Horrified.
Oh, God.
You deserve to choke on that one. Gee. Oh, no.
Hello, everyone.
It's Nikki.
And Tyler.
And this is Paige Turner.
And Button Mashers.
Why must you torture me?
You know, it's a thing that's gotta happen.
I know.
Yeah.
Your intros are legendary.
I appreciate that.
I mean,
nobody else tells me that.
To be fair, it kind of sets the mood.
Yeah.
Like, how weird is this going to be? Sometimes it gets really serious. Sometimes it doesn't. But you can always guarantee that Tyler's openers are going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. It's something I have to say here.
What?
I'm playing a game on the iPad to keep attention. It's a super easy game. But all it says is, unlock Jerusalem.
What?
So that's what's happening
that
here,
guys.
That
in itself could have been an
the
opener.
The opener. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're on episode 68.
Woo!
We're, like, getting really close to the 70s. Like,
yeah, we are.
That's so weird.
Yeah, we are.
Obviously, we would have been there, like, by now because of our bi-weekly schedule. It's gonna slow things down, but that's still pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Oh my god, we're nearing 100.
We're doing things.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
We've been doing things.
We've been doing things.
Yeah.
Anyway... no new business. Everything's pretty much the same from the previous many episodes, as always. So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, listen to any opener from the last 10 episodes. They're all the same. Any personal updates, I guess?
Not really.
No.
Not that I can think of.
Not that I can think of either.
Stalling. Joseph Stalin.
No! That's not new news.
That is very old news.
That is very old news.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We kind of just had a really busy weekend this week.
We did. We went to a concert.
Oh my god, we went to see Atreyu yesterday with Nonpoint.
Nonpoint.
And Nonpoint is like, they're not from here, but they really love our city.
Yeah.
And they come back all the time.
Yeah.
But they brought it.
Yeah,
they
did.
So fun, and we're kind of still concert drunk, and
yeah,
my neck is sore from headbanging so hard.
Yeah, I even went a little hard.
Yeah, we both did, but it was so much fun. But concerts being back, like, being back in our element, even with a mask and showing proof of vaccination was, like, nothing, you know? Like, it was, like, okay, cool. You're safe. Come in.
Yeah.
And even if you don't want your vaccination, just proof of a clean COVID test is pretty much nothing to get back into rock again. Like, come on. Obviously, we both really like heavier music. Like, we love all music, but...
This is true.
That's not what this podcast's about, but genuinely, if you ever want to get to know us, our playlists are out there on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so mine's Nikki's Road Concert, and his, you have two. You have Ty's Jams with a Z.
What is my one that I always, like, am listening to?
Spotify is right there.
I do have Spotify.
Yeah,
let
so
me look at it.
My playlist alone,
Ty's Music.
Ty's
apostrophe S space music.
Yeah, and the first thing you'll see on there is, like, the MCR cover. And
Mystique.
Boys to Men,
My Chemical Romance, and AC/DC.
Yeah, and I've got, like, Gloria Estefan, Bobby Brown, like, things like that. So, but I've got almost 1,300 songs on that playlist alone, but there's everything. Like, everything, genuinely.
How many songs do I have in mine? I have a decent number.
Yeah, you got a decent number.
I have 57 hours worth of music.
I mean, that's solid.
I think I have to go all the way
so
to the
bottom.
So
if you guys want to check that out on Spotify, if you have it, by all means, check it out. It's there for you.
It doesn't tell me.
It is.
I think I have 900 songs-ish.
Okay. Yeah, I'm adding to it every single day. We I also have
the Dark Souls 3 soundtrack in mind.
We've both got games
yeah.
things on there, too. But if you want to check those out, by all means, get to know us.
When I feel like just being, being under an immense amount of stress, where the fuck is the boss? The dancer's here somewhere.
That's true. All right, so shall we get into the last part of the book today?
Oh, I suppose.
Oh, my God. So, last third of Cersei... by Madeline Miller, or Madeline, I don't know, I've heard both. I've heard Madeline and Madeline.
That's fair.
But every time I think Madeline, I think of those cakes.
Oh,
those fair. Little shell-shaped cakes.
Fair enough.
And now I'm hungry. So, last we left off, Cersei mm-hmm. had found a mate and a company with, Odysseus.
Okay.
And he was preparing to set back off to sea.
Mm.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. with a new challenge ahead of him, he took to it and was told he needed to basically see the dead and then he would return to Cersei. Which he did.
Okay.
And he told her that his wife and son were still very much alive, but he still had one more task that he was given to him, ending in his death.
Mm.
So he prepared to leave again, and she knew that she would never see him again. She didn't let herself weep, though she just carried on.
Hmm.
However, she quickly learned, though through many bouts of morning sickness, that she was pregnant.
Oh, yeah. She was preggers.
She sure as hell was, by Odysseus.
Preggers.
So she never understood why this was so rough on her body. Even more so, she knew that the nymphs needed to be excused.
Okay.
She thought it might have been the mortal blood versus her immortal, but she wasn't sure. What mm-hmm. she did know is that she wouldn't be able to defend herself from any ship that came, so she made the decision to finally cast the spell that would cloak her island.
Ooh.
Yeah. Making it seem hostile was the only thing that she could do to protect herself.
Mm-hmm.
However, it didn't help that she was sick the entire pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it was a son, didn't know how, she just did. And she loved him as he grew, despite the nausea and migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Before she knew it, it was time to give birth.
Man, which... that makes you want to get pregnant, doesn't it?
I mean, we'll eventually get there, but that's our lives. which, she did it alone.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm trying not to disclose too much of our personal lives. Anyway.
Hey, here's our music playlists.
Get to know us musically and then leave us the rest alone. Anyway, yeah. I'm kidding. So. It was time to give birth.
Okay.
Which she did alone.
Right.
Even after many hours of labor, which she knew she had. When she knew, she had to cut him out. And she also C-section? Had to do that alone.
C-section, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so she drank a pain potion and just went, well, here we go.
Let's go.
Yeah. So she was afraid that he had died,
mm.
but he cried out and she cried with him. She held him close and told him that they did not need anyone else. Her sweet son, Telegonus.
Telegonus.
Yes.
A name.
Well, if you don't remember, Odysseus' son's name is Telemachus.
Mm.
Yeah. All I kept thinking is, they're both phones.
I mean...
I know. I'm so stupid sometimes. this kid was a crier.
Okay.
Like, a loud crier. No matter what she did, it didn't get better.
Mm-hmm.
Until he got a little older when he finally began to calm. She thought the worst was finally over, but he began to have, well, mishaps.
Oh.
So he would be approached by wasps, scorpions, he had bowls, like giant clay bowls nearly fall on him. Knives, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Cersei even noticed that her fires reached out for him.
Oh.
She didn't understand what was going on until she saw a vision of him dead that she knew someone was coming for him.
Mm.
After a little more time passed, she found out that it was Athena.
Oh.
She didn't understand why, but only knew, after a long discussion, that She wanted him dead for unknown reasons.
Good.
Yeah. Though Cersei thought it might have been for the wrath towards Odysseus.
Mm-hmm.
Though Odysseus didn't know he existed, so, like, it doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
Even Athena bargained with her to bring another man to her to have another kid after she killed this one. You know, to be her ally. Because that makes sense. So Cersei told her to fuck off with all that bullshit.
Just let me kill your kid. Come on. It's not going to be... Come on. Don't... No.
Just let me kill your
no,
kid.
No, don't be... Come on.
Yeah.
Don't be like that.
Let me kill your kid and I'll bring some other dude to fuck you and get you pregnant again. Come on. Okay? Yeah?
It's not...
That cool?
It's not bad.
It's literally what happened. It was like, what? She's like, wow. Fuck off with all that bullshit. And turned against Athena and essentially waging a personal war to protect her son.
Mm. Good.
After all, Athena did not know what she could do.
Mm-hmm.
But neither did Cersei. She realized that she had no idea how to protect her son, so she went into a panic.
Fair enough.
Making potions, thinking she could smell Athena every moment of the day, so she had, like, the scent of, bronze. Okay. So, like, wet bronze.
Gotcha.
I
can smell you.
I can smell you every day.
That is from a YouTube, like, classic YouTube video, so.
Oh, yikes.
I can smell you.
No.
Oh.
So she constantly kept him close.
Okay.
Time flew by, and she didn't care. She even took the time to make two hefty spells to cloak the island and prevent Athena from coming. But this kid, he was the worst. He was a literal tyrant in his own right.
Mm.
He destroyed things. He pulled down entire shelves of bottles. He would cry. He would scream. He would throw tantrums. He was just terrible.
You know, maybe her offer wasn't the one. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It's awful. Anyways. So she tried to have the wolves even watch them, and they were just like, nah, I can't.
Didn't Athena offer you something to take care of this? Like, yeah. Come on.
So it took years for
think
him.
Think of to... us.
It took years for him to stop his tirade. By the time he was six, he showed his knowledge of the plants and the ocean.
Ooh.
It seemed that he grew extremely quickly before her eyes, but by the time he was 13, she finally told him about his father.
Mm.
But every time she told him about some of the wrongdoings of Odysseus, Telegonus didn't believe her. So she lied about him to make him seem better.
Okay.
She wondered if she would spin the same lies about her own family, but he never asked about her home life.
Nice.
He genuinely did not care.
Good.
So, one autumn, her son pointed out that there was a ship coming. He begged her before to have sailors come, but he didn't know that their possible cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
However, this time she allowed them to come due to his begging and the fact that they were about to drown.
That, yeah.
He straight up was like, I could not bear watching them drown. Please, mother, do this for me. So she was like, fine. She told him to stay hidden when they came, but before she could pull her old trick, her son stepped up to introduce them both. The men behaved themselves, and Cersei was surprised.
Okay.
He was 15 by then, and he was very brave and strong.
Mm-hmm.
A young man in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
When he helped the men fix their boat and send them on their way, she realized he wanted to join the world.
Mm-hmm.
He asked her if he could keep the cave that Odysseus kept his boat in to himself, and within a year, he had built his own boat that he said to keep it a secret from her, but he couldn't.
All right.
Hermes told him to keep it a secret from Cersei.
My guy.
Yeah. So she was upset. Hermes was no friend of hers. And to tell her everything he said.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Hermes was helping him build this boat, test it, and telling him that he can leave and come back. To journey to Ithaca, his father's home, of course. But she grew angry. She forbade him to leave. So he rebelled and built his own place to stay away from her. While he was gathering his things, a huge fight ensued.
Mm-hmm.
Her calling him an immature child who knows nothing of the world, and he, in turn, reminding her that it was because of her that he didn't.
Mm.
So he was tired of being stuck there. He just wanted to leave.
Fair enough.
I mean, yeah, like, you're stuck on an island for 15 years of your life. You are told that your father is this brave warrior, and you just want to see the world that he currently still resides in and possibly meet him.
Yeah.
And she's not letting you leave. You'd grow crazy from that shit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. You'd be like, what the fuck on?
Yeah. But she threatened to make him forget about everything to keep him there.
Mm.
He knew that was cruel, and he was tired of being afraid of the gods. He'd rather die by Athena's hand than stay there.
Wow.
Yep.
Ballsy move,
little
dude.
So he left, and she got to thinking, how to keep her son there despite him hiding from her. In the end, she told him he could go, with conditions.
Good.
She needed him to carry her potions with him against anything Athena could summon. She also managed to acquire the stinger that was prized by one of the oldest creatures on the earth, Trigon.
Okay.
Yeah. Promising only to return it when she was done with it. That's all he wanted.
Mm.
She took the spine, filmed it with clear fluid, and bound it, basically, to a stick. Then she gave it to him.
All right.
The tail of Trigon, which was also the spear of Trigon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Telling him it was only for Athena and emergencies. So this spine was technically the stinger of a stingray.
Oh.
And this spine was so poisonous that a god would be sick for many years, but it would kill a person upon impact.
Oh, wow.
It was immediate.
Okay.
Fair. Even, like, the slightest scratch could kill you.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Some brutal shit right there.
Yeah, I know. And side note, major side note, the task was to touch it herself.
Oh.
That's all Trigon asked. But nobody ever wanted to risk that. And so she was like, okay, I'll do it for my son. And he was like, never mind. Like, all you have to do is show me that you were going to do it.
Oh, wow.
Like, nobody's ever wanted to because they were too proud.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate pain. So, here you go.
Get over it, you bunch of wimps.
Literally.
Oh, you don't like pain, but you're immortal? Get the fuck over it.
I know. So he thanked her, and after some time, he departed, promising to give Odysseus her greetings and to return with stories. Then he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a few months until he returned, completely ruined. Telling her how the spear she gave him allowed Athena's prophecy to come true.
Okay.
Telegonus killed his own father.
Ooh.
In an accident where Odysseus thought Telegonus was a raider of his lands and pulled on the spear, but because the poison is extremely toxic to mortals, he died after one nick. Ooh. He literally, like, tried to yank it out of his hand and ended up scratching his face and dying on
the spot. I don't think so, fiend. Nyah!
Literally. So, he returned to Aiaia. Completely destroyed.
Oh.
But he wasn't alone.
Okay.
He brought Penelope. Odysseus' wife.
Oh.
And Telemachus, his brother. Unfortunately, Circe knew that Telemachus would have blood for his father's death, but he didn't show it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He showed anger, for sure.
Yeah.
But it didn't show much else. He was, like, stone-faced.
Okay.
And Penelope, she seemed cool and calm.
Mm.
So she showed them hospitality. She fed them and sent Penelope and Telegonus to bed, but Telemachus stayed up. She started by assuming he was going to carry out his will of killing her son, but no, he didn't want that. He knew it wasn't his fault as Odysseus was dead.
Mm-hmm.
He watched it happen. Instead, he told her of the monster he had become.
Okay.
Cruel and paranoid. Odysseus had become.
Oh, Odysseus. Okay.
Yeah. Eventually going out on raids and possibly taking another wife in another place to have a better life, only to return with a heart full of hatred and darkness.
Oh, good.
Knowing he was disappointed of his own son, the horrors he made his own son commit, and then he said goodnight.
And damn. Left. Okay.
Left to bed. Some of the things Odysseus did. So, just to a little bit more detail, when Odysseus was gone, Penelope was alone. They thought he was dead. because he was gone for 7 years.
Yeah, that would be a fair thing. Yes,
for those 7 years, he was guarded by Calypso, another goddess.
Yep.
Bound to an island.
Yep.
That's the word. And in that time, suitors came. Telemachus was just a boy.
Okay.
So he couldn't protect his mother. And those suitors, who were not really suitors, they were just dicks, decided to eat everything in sight and take over their land. So when Odysseus came back, he killed all of the suitors, burned all the bridges with their fathers, and made Telemachus murder every single one of the maids that those men slept with.
Oh.
By hanging them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he was a cruel person.
Yeah.
And she was like, huh?
Anyway. My lovable sweet man, there's no way.
Yeah. No, she believed him.
Oh, okay.
She was like, yeah, I could see that.
That checks out.
That checks out. So she stayed up until the next morning, fixed breakfast, and stayed in her room until Penelope came to speak with her.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned how Odysseus was stuck with Calypso for 7 years, you know, and how in a weird fix, he preferred Circe.
Oh.
She also knew that he didn't know of Telegonus and thanked her for her hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
That she asked if she had a black shawl to grieve her husband, but Circe just allowed her to use the loom instead.
Okay.
Odysseus actually told Circe more than once that Penelope was very skilled with a loom.
Okay.
So that's why Circe allowed her to use it.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
So as she worked, Circe took Telegonus out for a stroll and information.
Mm-hmm.
It seems Penelope was the one who suggested Aiaia as a place to stay, and Telegonus doesn't remember why. She just needed time. But for what? Circe needed to know, so she waited until the following morning and told her son and his brother to go fix the pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
Then she asked Penelope of her true nature there. It was for safety of Telemachus. She knew Athena would attempt to gain her prized warrior back with his blood, so she needed to keep her at bay.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Aiaia was the only way to do it, she asked Circe if she and her son could stay, and Circe agreed if it was only for the winter.
All right.
Yeah. So
this just got really intense.
Yeah, so by his blood, I mean she wanted to continue the line because she was... Odysseus was her prized warrior.
Yes.
And he prayed to her. Everything about her was, you know, his goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was skilled in war. So she wanted his son to continue that on.
Yeah.
And it was like, no. No, thank you.
Not feeling this that much.
No gracias. I appreciate
it. No gracias.
Yeah. So the days went by and Telegonus learned more of stories of heroes. Of many heroes, not just his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally learned that his mother is Pasiphae's sister and knew Daedalus and helped birth the Minotaur. And he was just like, you knew them all? And he just assumed that she somehow just acquired the loom. Yeah.
Fair enough.
It was one of those, like, you know how you open your eyes one morning and realize how cool your parents actually once were?
Yeah.
That's exactly the moment that he had.
Gotcha.
So Penelope and Circe also bonded, and she was curious about magic, and Circe liked the company.
Mm-hmm.
Penelope eventually told her of her niece's harsh truth, that everything that would come to pass actually did.
Mm-hmm.
Except that it was more cruel because she murdered her own children,
then
left to join her father again.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's great. She was like, oh, yeah, you want your heirs? Fuck you. So she literally murdered them.
Double flipping a bird, jumping onto a boat.
Yeah. The scariest way to do it. Then Penelope asked how a wish, which came to be.
Mm-hmm.
Circe didn't know. She believed it was mostly will, which they both knew well.
Who's will?
Willpower. Green Lantern. So bad joke.
No, I enjoyed it.
So more time went and Circe grew comfortable in their presence. Things were going well until one day a knock came at the door and Hermes was standing there. announcing that Athena was asking she lower her defenses to be able to talk to Telemachus. No harm was to be done. Circe told him to tell Athena that she has to wait 3 days to lower her the defenses, but she agreed. Then Penelope finally broke her silence towards her son. They literally never spoke.
Okay.
Like, they were there together, but they weren't there together.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked him to talk.
All right.
Also, Penelope really enjoyed the fact that Circe told Athena that it would take 3 days, when in reality she could just drop the defenses whenever. She gave them time.
Fair enough.
So they spoke, and Telemachus waited and thought. Circe went to him, and they discussed what might come, and then the next day, it was time. The defenses were lowered, and Athena came. She offered Telemachus a kingdom, glory, strength, all this for the taking.
Ooh.
But he said no.
Gasp.
Like, he made her angry.
Ooh.
He didn't want glory or anything his father had.
Yeah.
He wanted a life of obscurity and calm.
I mean, seeing
how he turned out?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
He's like, I don't want to be my father. I don't want that.
Can we, like, not?
Yeah. Which enraged Athena.
Mm-hmm.
Until she turned to Telegonus.
All right.
And offered it to him instead. Which he, after some minor thought, accepted.
Of course.
It's all he ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was giving him land, popularity, strength, like, everything.
Everything, I gotcha.
Yeah. So, he would be set to go, and he could finally explore the world. And that's all he wanted.
Oh, you know, if you know what you want, I guess.
Yep. So, as much as it broke her heart to see him go, they packed, and he left.
Wow.
I know.
Just like that?
It was like a day later.
Well, like, yeah, but she's still, like, just like that.
Literally just like that. So she was like, okay, I can't tell you no.
Yeah.
It's your life, and you want to live it, and I can't keep you. I get it. Which is very brave of her.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she waged a war against Athena over it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Penelope and Telemachus stayed with her and treated her gently.
Mm-hmm.
But she realized they were mortal. There would be nobody left with her once they were gone in, what, 60 or 70 years?
Yeah.
That's like days to her.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, she went out and asked to speak with her father.
Okay.
He stepped out of the air, and she immediately demanded her exile to end.
Oh.
He said no. Why should he? And she told him of her treasonous act with Prometheus. Remember episode 1 of this?
I do.
For reminders, she decided to be nice to Prometheus, which is considered treasonous because he was being punished by Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
He took that as foolishness that gives her more of a reason to stay exiled, but she used it as a weapon. She can easily go to Zeus and show him that it was his fault that she wasn't in check.
Oh, shit.
That she knew all of the whispers that he and his brother spoke of. You know, their treasonous talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew angry, and he was like, that'll start a war. And she's like, I don't care.
Angry.
I want to be free.
Damn.
He threatened to end her where she stood, but she challenged him back. She's gone toe-to-toe with Athena and has walked in the blackest depths. He doesn't know what she has in her. And are you willing to find out?
God damn.
I know!
Step up, pussy.
I'm sorry. Damn! Yeah, I love how you hesitated.
Yeah,
you're like, I hate that word.
Yeah.
Feels gross.
It does.
So. They stared for a moment at each other, and he finally relented, saying that this was the last he will ever do for her, and not to come begging again. And she said she never will. She will leave this place tomorrow. He, of course, said that she was the worst of his children and to make sure she doesn't dishonor him. But she had a better idea. She will do as she pleases, and when he counts his children, to leave her out.
Damn.
He was so angry. Damn. He was so angry, he looked like he choked.
Hell yeah.
She said to give her mother her greetings. She only said, give mother my greetings. And then he left.
She's like...
Damn, bitch.
It's like...
Snappies.
This is the last thing I'm going to do for you. I'm like,
all right, well, fuck off.
Cool. Good. Cool, I know.
I'm out.
Deuces, bitch.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was funny because that's where I paused. So I finished this book like super early this morning. It was not that much left. And that's where I left off. I was like, ooh. I was trying to stay quiet. I was like, damn. You made him mad.
You made him angry.
Yep. Helios. Fuck. So she caught her breath. She was like, fuck. Okay. And went to see Penelope. Yeah, literally just major exhale.
Oh my god.
So a decision had to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So she told Penelope that she was leaving tomorrow and that she could either go back to Sparta or stay there.
Mm.
She wanted to stay since she wasn't really in a rush to go back to Sparta. Reminder that Penelope is the cousin of Helen of Troy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how Odysseus got started in that war.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So then she showed her the protective drugs that don't need magic to work.
Drugs?
For any sailors that try to come onto the land.
Okay.
Penelope was ready to handle any unwelcome guests she had to. She had already done it before, so.
Yeah, I feel like she can handle
it.
She's
like, I can handle this.
I got this, don't worry, boo-boo.
So, next was Telemachus. So she offered the same as his mother, telling him she wished to stay. He instead didn't want to go to Sparta, nor did he want to stay. He wanted to be where Circe knew he wanted to be.
Okay.
But she mentioned it wasn't safe for mortals, and he didn't, like, he was like, it wasn't safe for you either, so, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So whatever. She honestly just agreed to have him, and he knew his mother would be safe without him. Then they prepared to leave at dawn.
Okay.
So they set off, and the first place she wanted to go was to the Straits, to Scylla.
All right.
So they fished 12 large fish, and she turned them into rams, tying an herb bag around one of the necks, and inside was also also poison from the spear inside a small clay pot sealed with wax.
All right.
So Scylla ate the sheep, and Circe spoke her magic. She announced herself, and Scylla still managed to try and go after Telemachus, but Circe held her at bay with a spear, and she didn't attack.
Ooh.
Instead, foam came out of one of her mouths, because remember, she has six,
mm-hmm.
and Scylla fell from the cave that she had resided in for so long. She actually began to attack her own limbs.
Mm-hmm.
It was gross. And Circe cried out that they had to leave, and they quickly righted themselves from the crashes against their boat and got moving. That wasn't the end of the chaos.
Okay.
More of Scylla fell into the water, and it caused the ocean to churn and throw pieces of their food and their stores into the water,
mm-hmm.
including Trigon's spear. It had returned home.
All right.
Then it all stopped when Circe saw Scylla had turned to stone.
Oh.
She would hurt no one anymore.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. They made their way to land, and they realized a lot of their things were gone. But they had rested and recovered. 3 days later, they finished refilling their stock and set sail to a place towards Crete.
Mm-hmm.
It was the shore she and her brother had come to know together, and she was there to dig up the flowers that had been born of Cronus's blood.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Pharmaca was the name.
Okay.
So Telemachus told her that wherever she went, he wanted to go too.
Mm-hmm.
There are some sexual tension things here.
Oh, good.
And it's kind of obvious, but I have to remember that though he is the son, he is the brother of her son, she is not related to him.
Mm-hmm.
They just screwed into each other.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, they're not related, they're not related, they're not related. This is weird. Then they returned to Aiaia, where Penelope met them. Circe had a feeling that she was done with her home that she made.
Mm-hmm.
And she offered Penelope the chance to become the witch of Aiaia.
Okay.
As for Telemachus, he will be with Circe. which Penelope was completely cool with.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I was like, all right. After dinner, she cleaned up and went to speak to Telemachus. She had a spell to cast, but didn't know if the flowers would work for it. He didn't mind helping her consistently return and do what she wished, as long as her will had been done.
Mm-hmm.
She thought her heart would explode because it was so cute, and then she kissed him and left.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, it was weird. I thought it was weird. I'm sorry.
It was just a weird input thing.
It's the brother of your son, but I know you're not related.
Yeah.
It's just too many family circles. Anyway, so Cersei makes this potion,
mm-hmm.
and in making the potion, she begins to think of all the possibilities. Getting to travel and grow old with Telemachus,
mm-hmm.
having a life with him, seeing her son, seeing the world, hoping one day that she will grow old and Hermes could guide her to the underworld, like mm-hmm. every other mortal. She knew her strength in her magic and in her divinity, and she had the voice of a mortal. She just wanted the rest. Then she drank the potion.
Oh, wow.
And that was the end.
Damn.
So Cersei gave up her divinity for a mortal life.
Right on.
Which, that's the end of the book. Like,
wow.
Okay, to be fair, she went through hell.
Yeah.
There was actually a point where she looked to the stars and she said, the gods are already dead
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to grow.
Yeah.
And in doing that, not growing makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't want this. And that's why she gave up her mortality, her immortality.
Mm-hmm.
So that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give that book, just because it is a little on the wordy side, 8.5.
Okay.
The story itself is riveting. It's so much fun. And seeing her grow from this shy, meek little thing to a powerful witch who owns herself.
Yeah.
To someone who goes, I'm done. I'm done with all of you and I'm done with all this shit. I'm ready. Is a beautiful transformation story.
Yeah.
And
women empowering.
Women empowering.
Go women.
Yeah, also, like, really heartbreaking.
Yep.
A little bit of the truth to the hero aspect of Grecian folklore
yeah.
and mythologies. Obviously, this doesn't, like, follow a lot of the tales. Like, Telegonus, actually, there's a tale about him where he marries his own sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He marries his own sister, and then I only noticed that because in the myth it says his sister wife, and I went, his what? And I was like, oh, yeah, that. Anyway, yeah, so a solid 8.5 is what one. I'll give it.
I like it.
Again, it's a little wordy.
Yeah,
and
which is fair.
Yeah, but reading a third at a time
really helps.
Was nothing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because it goes through those transformations.
Right on.
But yeah, I would recommend this one to anybody who got it. And I got it through Book of the Month, so I was surprised.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So shall we take a break?
Break time.
Break time.
And we're back.
Why'd you say that like Jim Carrey?
I don't know.
That was weird.
And we're back. Welcome. To the show within the show.
Show within the show.
Yeah, with your host, Showman McShowmanson.
What?
I just wanted to put show as many times as I could.
It's gonna lose meaning.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Gaming news?
Gaming news. Hot Wheels, the game, is coming out this month.
Yeah,
like
that
next
looks
week,
fun.
I think it's like next week or the week after.
All I know is we're gonna be broke. Mm.
Yeah. Games are coming out, games are getting announced every fucking day, it seems like.
Yeah, it really seems that way recently.
Which is great.
I mean, of course, everything is good for the gaming industry right now because nobody really needs to go out that much. And it's getting to the colder season, so, well, for us up in the Northern Hemisphere, it's getting to the colder season, which means that even less people are going to want to go out. And more gaming will happen.
Yeah. I started finally playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Finally started it.
The actual campaign.
Yeah, I've played the multiplayer multiple times, many hours in that with buddies, but now I decided to actually start the campaign,
Yeah.
and it's good so far.
I thought it was interesting because you had shown me, you'd shown me like bits and pieces of like your favorite parts of the campaign,
Yeah.
and then you were like, you know, I really should get on actually playing the
Yeah.
campaign. And I was like, you haven't played the campaign. You've had it for like this entire
Yeah, so like
time.
since it's been out, I've had it.
Yeah,
Yeah, and I've
and
never played the story.
you literally have never done it. And I thought it was weird because it's like, it's one of those stories that I actually would be interested in watching, but I know that you,
It's the thing
yeah.
is, I've heard that it is just so long, and I'm like, oh God, am I ready to put that much time into it? But
Yeah.
now that I'm playing it, I'm like, yes, I am. Also, I must get to the part where Arthur and his crew jumps onto a trolley and goes, "This trolley go to Tahiti?" Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is in reference to.
No idea
Besides, there's a conversation where they talk about Tahiti. What's even on Tahiti? I don't know, Tahitians?
Tahitians?
No, Tahitians.
I know that's what he says, but
Yep.
Tahitians, I think, is the correct term.
You told me you could speak Spanish.
Oh,
That's
jeez.
another phrase of
Shut.
Arthur Morgan
I
that I
know.
want to get to.
He already said some racist stuff as is,
And not
so.
Arthur, just somebody in his gang did.
It doesn't help.
Yeah, well, Arthur hates that guy, so
Fair enough.
ready to fucking clock him. Anytime he just insults the fuck out of that guy, and that's the funniest part.
I do love that.
Yeah,
I love every part of that.
yeah.
Shut up.
Just shut the fuck up. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have for gaming news. Not much at all.
No, things are just gonna keep coming out slowly, and we'll keep you guys updated as much as possible. But
Yep.
there's not a lot. It's literally just one game
We're in
after
the
another.
dry season right now.
Well, yeah,
It
because the E what E3 happened,
happened,
and
and
then
so
all of their stuff got
I think
announced.
there was GamesCon or whatever.
Yeah.
There was something, that's the reason why Saints Row was announced.
Oh yeah.
I think it's GamesCon.
I think I remember something. McCree, his name's getting changed.
Yes, in Overwatch, in the whole Activision Blizzard uproar thing. And Matt Mercer is fully behind the name change.
Yeah, he completely understands.
And I think everybody else should understand it's just a name.
Yeah, honestly, it was named after somebody who did a lot of wrong
In the
in the
company.
company. He was a main part of the reason that people were upset, and now they feel like they don't back that behavior, so they're not gonna keep his name in the game.
Which is great.
And they also acknowledge the fact that they should probably just not name af anyone after anybody in
Yeah.
their games anymore, because like, what happens if this happens again? Like,
Yeah.
holy shit.
Yeah.
It was a major thing going on. And as I said before, I had a conversation with someone online over this. It was one of those Facebook comment section things, and you know
Yeah.
about it. But for those of the that don't know, obviously, I mentioned that it's like the company is at fault for not doing anything
Yes.
as soon as they could have. We obviously know people in the gaming industry, and we know that the timelines are more
They
important.
often take
They
precedent.
trump a lot of things, which sucks.
Yeah.
And it is not the fault of the company that these people are assholes.
Yeah.
It is the fault of the company that they did not act on it.
Yes.
So everyone's at fault here. Everyone sucks here, as Reddit would say.
Yes.
And I support them in trying to do better.
Yeah.
And
See,
that's
if
all I
this
can
was
ask
the
for right now.
Matt Mercer said that if the name change was the only thing that they were doing, it would be nothing.
Yeah.
But since it is in the first step in what seems to be a multi-step process, it's a good one.
Yep. So
So.
you start by removal, you start by changes, and then you keep making those changes and keeping your
Yeah.
promises.
Yep.
And yeah, so the gaming industry is possibly changing, and for the better.
Yep.
So,
like I said, go women.
Go women. Go people who
are kind.
Are kind and
go,
good.
Go
good. Go good people.
Fuck it. Shall we change it to a much brighter topic?
Humorous topics.
Well, I'm not sure about humorous. Kind of, yeah.
Well, we're also a comedy podcast, so I gotta hope so.
That's fair. I'm just not sure how comedy-filled this game is, but I guess it is.
I don't know. One of the characters is pretty fucking funny.
All right. So, the game I played for this episode is My Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, not Sims, not SimCity, nothing like that. It is My Sims. Released in September 18th, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So, same year that Time Splitters came out.
Oh, shit. It's really been that long, too?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Time Splitters Future Perfect, I believe, was also released on 2007. Let me double check that. I believe... Oh, 2005. My bad.
Okay. Just to...
Oh, MX vs. ATV was that year.
Damn.
Was 2007.
I just want to point out, just because I'm familiar with, like, a couple of the characters does not mean that I actually watched him play this game too much.
Yeah.
So I just want to make that very clear.
I did
clear.
Keep going, like, check out this character. Yeah, he kept... Look at this character. He kept Look at him. Pointing. Look at him. Yeah.
So for anybody who was like, oh, why did she keep interrupting? I'm sorry. Like, I genuinely just wanted to point out that this is the first time that it's like, I didn't watch because I was trying to finish my book.
Yeah.
But he kept wanting me to see some of the cute things that happened.
This is a game from my childhood that there are so many things so implanted excited. In my brain.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, you have to see this hilarious part.
Yeah, and so he made me watch them.
Yep. So, the genre is life simulation slash, I guess, and construction.
Fair enough.
Game. That is what it is described as. The developer is EA Redwood Shores, which would become Visceral Games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was disbanded in 2017.
So they were EA.
No, they were EA Redwood Shores.
Yep, and then they were just like, let's become something else. And then they were like, yeah, well.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done. 10 years later, we're done.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm sorry, that's sad. I shouldn't have laughed.
The publisher of this game is EA, Electronic Arts, of course. You know, for the... There's periods in my time when I'm just... Or in... through time where I'm just like... I forget that EA stands for Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
It's just something that you're like, EA, that's it. EA, that is what it is called.
Yeah, my brain just keeps hearing EA Sports.
Yeah.
And that's like the only thing I associate it with is like sports games, which is unfortunate because they put out so much stuff before that.
And still to this day, the EA Play is like full of fucking Battlefield.
I know.
Yeah.
It's actually produced a lot of things. It's just I'm stupid and my brain goes, sports?
Yeah. Oh, Visceral Games, speaking of Battlefield, was the one that helped with or developed Battlefield Hardline.
Okay.
So, little fun thing.
That is kind of fun.
Yeah. This is technically a part of the Sims series of games, but this is one of their spin-off series.
Got it.
Because The Sims has many spin-offs.
It's kind of like the Chibi Sims.
Pretty much, yeah. That is the best way to describe
it. If you don't know what Chibi is, just look it up. Everything's adorable.
Yes.
It's very cute and kawaii. And if you don't know what that means either, look that up. It's also cute.
Yes. So the systems that this came out for were the Nintendo Wii, the DS, and Microsoft Windows.
Okay.
Which I didn't know it came out on Windows. I didn't know about the Wii, which is what I played it on.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the DS, one of my friends had it on there. The DS version of it is a lot different than the Wii.
I feel like I've seen the DS version, but I knew like one or two people who actually played that, and I had like zero idea why they were so interested in it.
I will say the Wii version is the best version of it.
Fair enough.
I'm just gonna put that out there. So
this is number one.
Yeah, suck it. So, the story synopsis, this comes from the My Sims fandom site.
All right.
Which covers, I believe, the whole series of My Sims. So, but you, the player, come to a town which you name and help Mayor Rosalyn P. Marshall bring it back to life.
Okay.
You build your own house and build your own workshop. You start out working for the mayor and furnishing the town hall. Mm-hmm. This is a side note for me. This pretty much tells you how you're going to be playing the rest of the game. This works as a tutorial.
Okay.
Next, you fix up the town flower shop run by Poppy.
Aw.
Yeah.
I love how she's named after a drug flower.
Yep. And she is, like...
stinking cute.
She's so adorable. She's like, oh! She just claps and, like, giggles at everything.
Is she the one who continuously keeps giggling?
Not in... No.
Okay.
No, she's not.
Okay.
But,
there is one.
Yes. So after you, after doing so, fixing up the town flower shop, Chef Gino arrives at the hotel. Mm-hmm. You build him a restaurant, and soon your town reaches the next star level, which unlocks more Sims to move in and more blueprints to use. From there on, you are given the liberty to create and design your town however you like, as well as the furniture you build for your citizens to use.
The furniture you build?
The furniture.
Okay.
Sure. Sorry.
It's okay.
A lot of words that you have to spit out there.
Yeah, we, if you hadn't noticed, we're not professionals.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing. We're just not professionals.
Yes. I have a college degree that deals with sound design, yet I cannot speak well.
I have a college degree in kicking your ass. I'm kidding. I have no college degree. I am no professional.
So, let's see. A few side notes. The hotel was mentioned.
Yes.
There is one employee only. His name is Buddy the Bellhop. He takes anywhere from 4 steps and makes it perfectly fine to half a step and falling on his face.
He's the one I mentioned.
Yes. He salutes, and what he usually says is, "Dag, dag," and it is the cutest fucking thing in the world.
He is a precious being that must be protected at all costs.
I will say, when one of the Sims was just chilling in the hotel, he just ran up, or he walked, fell, got up, and then pushed the guy, and then walked away, and I didn't know how to react, because I've never seen Buddy do that. Because he was just like, "Hat-ta-ta, oh!" Gets back up, turns around, and just pushes the guy and runs away.
It's like, oh, I made a blunder. I'm going to push him to see if I can distract him enough. And then
ha-ha! No, no, no.
Yeah, literally. It was...
Yep.
I saw him do it, like, again. He didn't do it just once. He did it more than once.
Yeah, he just started doing random mean things to Sims, and I was like, Buddy, what happened to you?
Who hurt you?
Yeah. Besides the floor.
Besides the... and the ground and various furniture pieces that you have run into.
One of the first cutscenes you see of him is your character walking to, like, your house or your workshop. I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. And he just falls on his face.
Oh.
That's the first thing you see.
I wonder if it's all that head trauma. Maybe it turned him into a serial killer and nobody knows. And they were just like, we'll just put that in his programming.
Yep. All right. So... throughout this game, you are given tasks to fix up the aforementioned businesses in the game. Mm-hmm. This literally entails you creating specific pieces of furniture for each of the quote-unquote commercial Sims that they ask for.
Okay.
And that can be anywhere from a flower stand for Poppy or a pizza oven for Chef Gino.
Okay.
Literally, there's so many things. DJ stations. Some are just like, build me a desk, please. And it's like, all right.
All right.
Yeah. So,
how normal of you.
Yeah, but that's not the entirety of it. You're not just putting blocks together.
Yeah.
In order to complete the task, you must add a specific amount of, quote unquote, essence to the furniture, usually by painting it with that essence or placing it on there. What is essence, you ask? Well, other part of this conversation that I just made up.
I'm too slap happy for this shit.
So
anyway.
They are items in the form of collectibles that are gained through interacting with other Sims by, like, being nice or mean to them.
Okay.
Shaking trees, fishing, or prospecting, or one of the many other things in the game.
All right.
So... there's just a bunch of this shit.
You just gotta get a bunch of random ass shit.
Yeah.
Got it.
And you just keep collecting it. So, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of each type and a few examples from each.
Okay, so first, before you go, is the blood of your enemies on there?
No.
Damn it.
Okay.
I really wanted to paint it with the essence of my enemy.
Well, but what I'm saying with a few examples, I'm not, there's a lot that goes into each of the different types. I believe there's six types. Mm-hmm. So, just bear with me that the few that I'm giving you, like, the idea of, that's not the extensive list from each of them.
That's fair.
So, let's see if I can find it. First, there we go, is cute. So, flowers, crayons, dolls are some of the main items included here.
So, you paint it with the essence of cute?
Yes.
Why does this sound all of a sudden satanic?
You paint it with the essence. So, like, say you have a red crayon. There are four designs with each essence that you paint. And you cycle through them by pressing the button on the same block multiple times.
Are the Sims satanic?
No.
But it sounds like sacrifice.
It's not. You're picking up essence of just, like, flowers and shit. Okay, sure, whatever.
I make my point. That is witchcraft, sir.
So, for example, if you have the red crayon, there's a design that has, like, it looks like scribbles from the crayon.
Yeah.
Then the next is actually the crayon, like, multiple times.
Okay.
Then it's, like, red and then a weird orange color. Like, it's just four different options to choose from while you're coloring the thing.
Okay.
So you can make something look fucking god-awful if you want. If you want to just be like, fuck this, the Sim won't care.
They just want it done.
Yes.
Okay.
And I will say there are varying levels of what, how of that type they are, of like how cute they are. I think the max is like 2%. So if you paint an object with the thing that has the highest, you'll make it the best, or like that most quicker that, with like less pieces.
Okay.
And therefore, if you give Sims like the maxed out cute thing, if you give a cute Sim that, they'll become your best friend quicker. They're like, cool. Oh my God, thank you.
I mean, sure. I like having random best friends.
Right? So, after cute is fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the essence of fun.
The essence of fun.
Beach balls, magic carpets, and stuff like that are featured here.
Yeah, this just sounds like light magic to me.
It's definitely magic. I mean, the first thing, the thing when they're flipping through the storybook of how the town was created, the dude's like doing fucking hovering shit.
He's doing this hand shit.
He's like, oh, look, I'm combining these.
Yeah, I legit think that Sims is based off both satanic and normal magic, and it just depends on which way you go.
Fair enough.
I mean, you can make your town really fucking weird.
You can, yes. So, up next is Geeky, which features video games, rockets, and snakes for some reason. Snakes are geeky. You heard it here, it's canon.
Okay, I will accept that as a fact.
Yeah.
Because, actually, yeah, nope. Herpetology? Is that what it's?
Sure. I believe you.
Herpetism.
Nope.
I know it's herp something, and it's not herpes.
Let's move on, shall we?
No, I just know that it's a really geeky thing.
Okay.
Is what I was trying to say.
Fair enough.
I just couldn't say words.
Fair enough. All right. Next is spooky, which is my personal favorite.
Same.
I will honestly say that geeky, when growing up, used to be my favorite, but spooky is fucking awesome with the essence that you get.
Because you literally married that aesthetic.
Yes. So, eyeballs, ghosts, skeletons, jack-o'-lanterns.
All the cute things.
Yeah, black roses.
I love those.
Yeah.
Those
are they really are cool. All included here. It's fucking awesome. Most of it is, like, super spooky. Like, there is an essence that you can get called scary, which you get from interacting with spooky Sims, being nice to them.
So, okay.
Or,
it's scary to interact with spooky people.
Yeah, or you scare the fuck out of a Sim by, like, popping a brown paper bag behind them.
Oh!
And they're like, ah! And then scary essence pop out.
So their soul leaves them, and you just collect it.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Spooky might be the most, like, dark of them all.
It's fucking awesome.
That's so funny. I love it.
Yeah.
It's chaotic.
It really is.
The best way.
Yep. Let's see. Next is Studious.
Okay.
Which you get globes, fossils, and stained wood, you know?
Nerd.
You know, smart things?
Yes.
Stained wood, definitely smart things right there. You can get light wood or dark wood. Like, that is two of the things. And they're like, that's Studious right there.
Sure.
Yeah, and literally when you're painting something, it literally just stains it darker or lighter.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not great. I will say there is another type of wood that you can get from this, and it is dead wood. And okay. That is spooky.
Okay.
The wood, when it pops out after you cut down a dead tree, is just... it's wood in the shape of a skull.
I love that.
It's great.
It's so cute.
Yes. And when I was playing the game, I had the maxed amount of dead wood I could have, which is 99.
Oh.
Yeah, I just...
You couldn't stop.
Yeah, I need
all the skulls.
I need it. let's see. Finally is Tasty.
So which food.
Literally food items.
Food centric.
Bacon. Apples.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, except for black apples. That, again, is spooky.
Fair enough. Did you know those exist? I think I told you that.
Yes.
For everybody who doesn't know, yeah, black apples exist, and they're apparently as sweet as Honeycrisps.
Ooh.
And I want to grow some.
Let's do it.
I don't know if we can. We're That's in fair. The nine generate, like, the nine portion.
Of That's fair.
The zones. Anyway.
All right. So, as you complete different tasks, so that finishes the essence type portion. So, as you complete different tasks, you raise your town's star level up to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you get a new star level, you are authorized to use different tools, which usually allow you to find a new place to find essence. Or, in the like first two instances, get into the other residential available areas, like the jungle or the desert.
Oh.
So, there's town center, jungle, then desert.
What kind of fucking...
And then within all of those areas, there you get different tools to unlock the different areas.
I legitimately am confused about the climate of this area.
Yeah, it's different.
It's like, yeah, let's take a southern hemisphere and a like sub-southern hemisphere. Like it's a weird thing, and I'm like, it doesn't make any sense.
So, it's great. The first thing you get is a crowbar, which you bring down like a wooden doorway to a mine where you can prospect, which is literally taking a metal detector going around and it goes beep, 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 and then you dig.
Yeah, don't you get weird stuff out of that?
Yeah.
I've seen you get something. Did you get food out of there?
Bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not in that specific one, but in one of the prospecting areas, no, I got bacon.
I remember seeing that. I was like, did you just dig up bacon?
Yep.
Like...
Yeah. But... Then you get a saw,
mm-hmm.
not a chainsaw, just a normal saw, and you cut down a log that allows you to go to the jungle.
A little lame, but makes sense.
Yeah. Then you get a pickaxe, which allows you to take down the stones in front of the desert area.
Okay.
And then number four, I forget what you get at 5. At some point, you get a blowtorch to take down metal doors. So.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's all the mayor. She's just like, you're authorized to use this now. And it's like, okay.
Are you authorized to authorize me?
Yeah.
To do that? Because as she's a mayor, you don't really have that kind of power.
She's the mayor.
She's technically a dictator, if you think about it that way.
I will say, as the star level, I forgot to write this down. As the star level increases,
mm-hmm.
More Sims will want to try and move in and like different types. So when you are at star level 1,
mm-hmm.
only a select few pop out from each of the different like groups. They're like, hey, I'd like to move in. And you can choose who you want to move in and not.
That's cool.
And I will explain more about Sims like next, actually.
Yay.
So now it's time for the Sims. That's literally now it's time for the Sims. First up, we have the commercial Sims. The ones that have businesses for you to help build, and they help the most in raising your town's star level. For the sake of time, I will not go through all 20 of them.
Yeah, that's too many.
There are 20 of them. But I'll give you a few examples of the types of businesses that come through. There's a museum, arcade, library, costume shop, pretty much something for every type of sim and player.
I love a lot of those things.
Yeah, there's a sushi shop.
I do love sushi.
Yeah, there's haunted house.
I love that too.
Yeah.
Though I can't go to them. I punch people.
That's fair. There is one that I don't know what the fuck she's all about. Her name's Captain. So C-A-P apostrophe N. Ginny.
Is she like the daughter of Captain Crunch or some shit?
I don't. She is a pirate.
All I know is now I'm craving cereal.
She's a pirate and I don't know what the fuck her business is. You just build her a pirate ship at some point.
She's an amusement park, clearly.
Like, inside of a house, I guess.
Sure. Pirate house?
Sure.
I'll just allow it.
So, I will say who my favorite commercial sim is, though. And it's not Buddy, as much as I love him. Mm-hmm. It is Chef Gino.
Yeah, I know. You love
him. I love Chef Gino.
He wouldn't shut up about him. So, that's how much he loves him.
He comes in super early in the game. And as I mentioned, pretty much the first commercial sim you get to move in. He owns the Italian restaurant because he's Chef Gino. Of course he has, I will describe him. He has the chef like uniform on, the big chef's hat and the curly mustache. He is as stereotypical of an Italian chef as you can get.
True.
His name is Chef Gino.
And he is a precious bean.
Yeah. And he's famous for his, he makes world famous pizzas. That is his thing.
He is a world famous pizza maker.
Yeah. And he is cute. He juggles tomatoes. He's fucking awesome. He's great.
We love Gino because he juggles tomatoes.
I put him in one of the four spots in on the town square because if you put him anywhere else, that is disrespecting him. It's not really, but I will not allow such disrespect of Chef Gino.
Only you.
Yeah, he deserves the best. I put him like right next to the town hall, essentially, because I'm like, he's the mayor.
I mean, fair. Also, fair warning, if I start to sound raspy, I just realized that my voice is trying to give out on me again.
Oh, good.
Because we were screaming a lot.
Yes.
So, just fair warning.
So, next we have Towny Sims, which is literally just Sims you move into town. You start off with two in your town, Patrick and Violet.
I love them.
Violet is Poppy's sister, I believe older sister, and she is the exact opposite of Poppy. Violet is a spooky sim. She only cares about dead things, like that's her.
She is me.
Yeah. She yes. Me. Patrick is sim that falls under the tasty category, like of essence, and I'll explain more about this in a bit, but he just cares about food.
I do too.
He just is like, oftentimes when you see him walking through town, there's usually a thought bubble and it's the Italian restaurant symbol. So he's going to Chef Gino's.
So he's only ever hungry?
Yes.
Is that
yeah.
Kind of cute.
Yeah, Patrick's awesome.
He's just like,
his whole thing is he's a trucker, a former trucker that settled down in town because he loved the food there.
Aw. That is so sweet.
And then everybody moved out, and he's just like, I want more restaurants to move in. And then they do. And he's like, sweet. This is great.
I'll stay.
Yeah.
I'll stay for the food.
Hell yeah. He's a cool guy. He's super adorable,
too. There's a handful of places that are like that, and I will give that pass.
Yep. So, they are divided into different types, like the essence. Are they literally fall into those legitimate types? And each sim in those groups match the type perfectly. Moving them in also raises your star level, but to a much smaller extent compared to the commercial sims.
Okay.
In each of these types are what are known as Uber sims. When you get your town to 100% of a type of essence and you are a level 5 town, a super special sim that embodies that type arrives in town to move in.
What are you at right now?
I'm at 3.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a child scream. Didn't like that.
I didn't like that either. That picked up really solid. Yeah. I was like,
So, for example, the spooky Uber Sim is Mel the Mummy.
Aw.
He's super cute. He kind of, oh.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a picture of him, and he is so adorable.
He wanders around, and his whole thing is he loves exotic decorating techniques, objects, like jars filled with your organs, because he's a mummy.
Jars filled with your organs.
Because he's a mummy.
I know, but that's like a ritualistic rite.
Yeah.
Aw.
He's fucking cute. All of these Sims are cute.
He's a baby.
I believe the fun Uber Sim is a magician.
That should be under spooky, though.
Yeah. Well,
I honestly think that.
It's just, there's an Uber Sim for every single one. I could probably name them all off if you want me to. Do you give me that challenge?
Can you do it in 1 minute flat?
Sure. Cute, it has Hopper. He's dressed like a frog because he won the high jump. Fun is Amazing Daryl. He's a magician. Spooky is Mel the Mummy. I already named him.
Yes.
Geeky is Star. She's a ninja. Studious is a samurai. Forgot his name. And Tasty is Chancellor Ikora. He's a chef.
Damn, you did it in under a minute. Bravo.
So, my favorite townie is actually not any of the Uber Sims, as cool as they are.
Fair enough.
My favorite townie would have to be Yzma.
Yeah.
She is a spooky Sim who wears a black and, like, pink dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she has bear ears.
Oh.
And her picture literally has her just going, "Arr!"
Oh.
Like, she's super fucking cute. And her description, I do have the game guide for this, so I'm able to read the description of each of them.
Yeah.
Her description is literally the best. Yeah. And this is the one I was going to read to you, but then I was like, I need to save it for the podcast.
Good boy.
Yzma doesn't want much, just a roof overhead and the complete and total subjugation of all living things.
I mean, same. But, like, can't always do that.
She is awesome. Oh, God. She's great.
I like how we're going through, like, all the spooky Sims, and every time I see them, I'm like, so that's me, but that's also me, and
yep.
That is too.
Yep.
That's me in looks, that's me in personality, we're all good.
Yeah. So, something you can do with each Sim is becoming best friends with them, as I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Usually filling their house with furniture that is fully decked out with their preferred essence type.
Mm-hmm.
Each Sim has a loves, likes, and dislikes, or hates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's their three. So, usually just fill it out with their loves, which is the type of... Stop screaming. Which is the type of... The child screamed again, sorry. Is the type of... a group that they fall under, which you can always tell when you're moving them in. There will be a sign with the symbol of that essence type.
Okay.
So if you fill it out with that, boom, you're good. So they will reward you with a blueprint that is specific to them, mm-hmm. and an outfit if they are a commercial Sim.
That's really nice.
You can usually dress up like any of the other Sims, but if you become best friends with one of the commercial Sims, you get their outfit.
Is that how you did it with Gino?
I haven't done it in this game, but I do it every time.
I thought I saw you in his outfit.
Nope.
Okay, so I must have been mistaken, but it was really cute.
Yeah. You can even become best friends with Buddy.
Okay.
And the best way to do that, you get his bellhop outfit.
Did you do that one?
In the next game.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm playing the next game.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, only going off memory.
Yeah, so to become best friends with him,
mm-hmm.
The tip that is given is make two chairs that are 100% in the geeky type.
Okay.
And he becomes best friends with you instantly, you get his bellhop outfit.
That's
so,
really cute, yes. Actually.
Yeah, so Yzma, mm-hmm. she gives you a bed blueprint for sleeping, obviously. That is, it's called Spikes. It's literally bed frame, mattress, spikes. It's one of those, yeah.
I mean, sure. Like, if you're totally willing to do that.
Yep.
I can't imagine.
I believe Mel gives you a specific sarcophagus blueprint.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hopper gives you, like, three, and I believe one of them is a TV that looks like a frog.
It's cute.
Yeah. So they all are very specific to each of the Sims.
I really love that. Yes.
I will say there is a very secret Sim in there called Cassandra. Mm-hmm. She's a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She only appears if spooky Sims do a seance in public. That legit happens in the game. She appears, and what you have to do every time she appears is, and it does stack, obviously, being nice to her.
Explain again to me how Sims is not some sort of satanic ritual.
Moving on. You have to be nice to her multiple times. Just keep clicking the be nice. Yeah. And the problem is she will disappear, come up behind you, and spook you. Mm-hmm. And if your Sim starts crying, you lose friendship with her. Because she hates a crybaby.
Aw.
So
it's really hard.
Yeah. So once you finally become best friends with her, she gives you 3 blueprints, and they are 2 chairs, or 3 chairs. One's monster right paw, one's a monster left paw, and the other is the monster mouth.
That's so cute.
It's awesome. I will show you the blueprints after this.
I love that.
Yeah. So, this is a super cute game that is perfect for first-time players, as it is very simple and cute and still fun and able to hold your attention mm-hmm. as long as you're playing, because it gives you tasks. You're able to design it as you want. You get to literally design your town. Obviously, you can't change the layout, but you can be like, oh, all I want is this and this, these 2 types of Sims in my town. Perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... It's a really solid game to choose. Let's see. So if you have a kid that is interested in gaming, this is definitely a great place to start.
I'd say so, yeah.
Like, there's quote-unquote violence. Like, you can sometimes get into a fight with another Sim. But in classic Sims fashion, you just see both of the Sims dive into just this big gray cloud of just swirling things.
Nonsense.
And then they come out dizzy.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, overall, I would say, while this game is super basic in its objective, it does, have a certain appeal, especially if you're like me and love cute games with customization.
Yeah.
I will have to say I'm gonna give this game a solid 7.
Okay.
It's not a bad game at all. It is a fantastic game, mm-hmm. especially for first times, or just people looking for a game to kind of chill.
Yeah. Too.
This is not a serious game. This does not take a lot of, concentration to do.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I need to relax. This game's cute. It's perfect for it. It's just after a while, there's not much to it because it's that simple. You're building a town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can set certain objectives for yourself, like I want to move in every Uber Sim. You can do that.
That's kind of awesome.
Because once you move in one Uber Sim, you can just redesign people's houses to make it the essence of the next one, and just keep doing that. No Sim will move out. You have to kick them out.
That's sad, but kind of awesome too.
Yes. So
I have the power.
Yeah. So there's this like constant like, oh yeah, I could do this if I wanted to, or I want to find every essence type, so I want to create my house to look as good or as cool as I can in game. So yeah, it's a good time.
I'd say so.
Yeah. So I am going to continue this series of games.
Yeah,
because I love the My Sims series, and it's a nice change of pace, especially with what I've been playing.
That's for sure. You've been playing a lot of like
intense games.
Yeah, and with fun fact, Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
That is next month, guys. We only have 2 episodes this month. We're gonna get back into some intense shit.
Yeah, so this is a nice break from
this
it.
This is a nice little breather before we get back into our absolute chaos in my favorite time of the year. So
it's also my favorite time.
I know. Don't be whiny about it. Like, we both love spooky season.
Yes.
I really love fall, and I'm just really excited to get back into it. And we also have like some major ghosts coming
on.
One of my favorite podcasts out there, and I cannot wait to make that announcement and have them on the show. So
yeah,
I'm freaked out. I'm geeking.
You guys know where to find us, all of our stuff in the show notes.
Always
tell there. Your friends if you have a game that's like bringing up a whole memory
for you.
Let us know.
Absolutely. Just don't forget to shout out at us, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll be here and we're happy to respond to you. So that being said, guys, can't wait to hear from you next time. I cannot wait to do this again. And keep on turning those pages.
And mashing those buttons.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Mwah, mwah, mwah.